This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're with The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Sharad Kutan as well as Ibrahim Sani. And Ibrahim, you just interviewed the CEO of CIMB Principal Asset Management. And CIMB is still in the news because it is selling some real estate funds to the EPF for about $37 million or 123 million ringgit. These are two funds that are involved in the, I guess, Australian property market. Is that right, Ibrahim?
Yeah, that's right. They are a private equity market involved in the real estate business. They have a solitary objective to invest in high-grade commercial office assets in Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra. And I think the question is this in tandem with what EPF wants? And based on our conversation and interviews that we have gathered from the EPF CEO, Datuk Shahril Rizal Ridzwan, it's clear that EPF is on track to grow their PE assets, to grow their property and infrastructure portfolio, and also to diversify their non-ringgit earnings, which is at the very heart of my call. I think I want to focus more on investing non-ringgit assets and to outgrow the domestic bias that many of these investment companies have right now.
That's right. EPF, as of this moment, has about 3/4 of their assets still in Malaysia and about 25% that overseas, which has put them in very good stead over the past few years, because that is the very factor that has supported EPF earnings. But now, after the ringgit weakness, it's time to consider whether that should be expanded even further. And, just one thing on this sale of the funds. What do you make of the fact that CIMB Group Chairman Dato' Sri Nazir Razak is deemed an interested party? What's that all about, Ibrahim?
I think because EPF is owned, CIMB is owned by EPF by about 14%. Much of these transactions can be deemed as left pocket, right pocket. And the deemed interested party proposal by Dato' Sri Nazir Razak has to be declared. And I think it's good for them to declare these kind of things. But at the same time, I think this begs the question of, too close or too cozy of a vested interest party in buying and selling. I don't know whether this is
I think that there would be some kind of an arm's length discussion, because if Nazir Razak is part of the committee, investment committee, governance committee, there would be an arm's length procedure in the way these decisions are made. I don't think that Nazir Razak would take a personal interest in such deals.
Yeah, and I think the declaration still has to happen regardless.
What happens when you have an investment fund as big as EPF, so heavily invested in local stocks and therefore companies? I mean, how can they make decisions without somehow it being seen as, right hand, left pocket, or whatever the expression you use, right? I mean, if they're everywhere. CIMB is just one of the many banks and other institutions, right?
That
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they do that through an investment committee. I don't think that the committee makes day-to-day decisions for the investing staff and the investing professionals. What they do is that they probably set investing principles. They probably make some asset allocation decisions from time to time, and strategic long-term decisions, but I don't think they participate in the day-to-day running of the investing aspects of EPF. It's 8:48 in the market, and the high-speed rail project, I'm not sure how many of us are looking forward to this, but this is going to give us a 90-minute travel time between KL and Singapore, and the MOU is going to be signed in July. Is it next year, 2017?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
No, sorry, what's signed in July this year? What's going to happen now? What's the update on this?
So according to the Straits Times in Singapore, they report that the agreement on the high-speed rail project with Singapore will be signed next week. And they cite that the Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib Tun Razak, has already finalised some of the key details and will invite the Singaporean representatives to actually sign on the dotted line along with the Malaysian government. Now, this is important, right? Because all eyes are on this project. This is perceived to be the litmus test on the public sector spending accountability, which is akin to what we call the corporate governance in the private sector. Both countries can easily see the economic upside of doing this project, But both countries have their own battles in managing the perception of doing or transacting business with each other. Hence, they need to get this right the first time around. And therefore, the stakes on investor perception is very high for both countries to make this work.
Well, this is a project where much of the infrastructure is going to be built on the Malaysian side, right? Because just because, Singapore is tiny. And then, because you're almost immediately in a high-speed rail situation, mm-hmm. you exit Singapore almost immediately. But, you know, I for one, Julian, and Ibrahim, I look forward to this because I love train travel. And
you love Singapore? As well.
Well, you know, my mother lives there and my brother lives there. Yes. They're both Singaporean. Yes. And, you know, and yes, of course, you know, I would like options to travel. Well, and I think this is something that would make sense to anybody who lives across these borders.
For me, I think at the risk of putting it too simplistically, it's about how much the government's money, i.e. my money, is going to be spent supporting this huge infrastructure project. And at the heart of this project is the question of whether this is a public project or this is a commercial project, right? Because the tickets are not going to be cheap. And it looks like the clientele of this railway, given the ticket prices for this, is going to be at the higher end of the market. So as a government, going to spend money supporting this project, which is at the end of the day a commercial project, should the project be able to stand on itself commercially?
Yeah, and I think that's the core question because the old adage that goes you can't make money from public transportation, right? And I think you have to think about the other similarities of these kind of projects around the world. The Shinkansen, it's a private project. The high-speed rail at the TGV in the UK, that's a private project. So the question now is, why are we socializing this particular project? Why not make it commercial?
Okay, let's look at talking about the ringgit and talking about things moving things overseas. Bank Negara has come in to address the trading of the ringgit in the onshore and the offshore markets, and therefore the Financial Markets Committee has today introduced some new regulation, which I believe is centered upon freeing up a lot of that decision making of the forex market, where in the past approvals were needed, and today Bank Negara has greatly relaxed a lot of that requirements.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the requirements that have been relaxed includes the ringgit account for purposes of bookkeeping, the ringgit denominated interest rate swap, the dynamic hedging, where up to 25% without documentary evidence is now allowed, and many more. And I think this is very critical for us to examine, because at the bottom of this, this is a move to attract companies and investors to settle their ringgit trade via an approved channel. And by relaxing these kind of laws, it kind of facilitates these kind of investors and companies to make ringgit transactions, particularly offshore ringgit transactions, through an approved channel. And, with the ringgit free-falling like this, I think it's good for us to actually embrace this kind of action by Bank Negara.
Yeah. Is it really free-falling? It's sort of stabilized now, hasn't it?
I think over the past few days, yeah, it has. Yeah.
So, okay.
But it does give that perception that people are scared of what's happening, and there's a lot of confusion out there. There were a lot of opposition to the announcements that Bank Negara has made previous days. Mm. And exporters like MAGMA, which is the Malaysian Rubber Glove Association, as well as FIM, the Federation of Malaysia's Manufacturers, come out to complain about these restrictive practices whereby they have to convert a lot of their foreign currency export proceeds to ringgit within a specified
and
time.
And that's the question I was going to ask. I mean, I do the question of language, the language you use in describing the volatility of the ringgit aside, the question of has Bank Negara addressed directly the concern of exporters? And is it in this particular move, or have we not yet heard from Bank Negara on exporters' concerns?
I think Bank Negara doesn't need to address these kind of questions by the players. I think Bank Negara's role is to manage the monetary policy of the country.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Bank Negara is very cognizant of what's going on in industry and commerce. And certainly, the central bank has another role, which is to steward the economy into an optimized level of growth. So certainly, they want to take all these kinds of complaints and concerns into consideration. And in answering your question, Sharad, I don't think the exporters' concerns have been addressed by these latest measures. These are just addressing the other aspects of ringgit trading, which is as to whether, I think Bank Negara was trying to curb and make a lot of persuasions about trading in the non-deliverable forwards, and the idea of whether there's enough liquidity in these offshore and onshore markets of ringgit versus foreign currencies. And Bank Negara is just trying to address some of this by removing one of these impediments that approvals are needed from the central bank. I'm not sure if by simplistically removing approvals, whether it makes a big leap in terms of improving those liquidity situations.
Yeah. At the bottom of it, there's a fundamental issue behind it, and that's why there is a related news to this, in fact, where Fitch has maintained its A-minus rating for Malaysia with a stable outlook, but cites that political risk remains prominent, as highlighted by ongoing issues by 1MDB. It also says that there is a high leverage ratio and is expected to weigh on our country's economic growth in the years ahead, given the increased debt service burden. We have, after all, over 54% overall debt to GDP level as of last year. So, yeah, you can have this, what we call superficial kind of changes by Bank Negara, by the FMC and AOO, but at the end of it, it's about the fundamentals of the country, whether or not we are addressing the core problems that is surrounding this country.
Also, interestingly, the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research tags the fair value of the ringgit versus the US dollar at around 405 to 410. And I find this really interesting because previously I read that the fair value of the ringgit, and no less given by the ex-governor, central bank governor, Tan Sri Zetti, that is around 370, 380. And the sentiment seems to have shifted from that figure to 405 to 410. And it just gives an impression that this is kind of a moving target.
Yeah, it is a moving target, but this is also a sentiment that is being carried through checkpoints in time. And so right now, the MIER, or the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, says that the ringgit should return to its equilibrium once the real factors, quote-unquote, has been set in and speculative forces that has led to our ringgit weaknesses continue to fade.
So the question is, what does it mean to talk about fair value? I mean, it's a notion. It's not something out there. It depends on what you put into your formula, isn't it? That matters.
If
sentiment is not part of that formula.
No, if I were to liken it, it's like
naive.
This. Your current body weight versus your BMI, here we go. Right?
Well, actually, I can go on a scale and do that, but can you do that with currencies?
Well, you can argue that the scale is the market, right? So if the market wants the ringgit to be at 450 at the moment, is that the fair value, or is that somebody else's calculation that says that the ringgit is 405 or 410? That is the fair value, which is the one, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're going to have on S&M later, Noor Hisham Hussain, who's the chief economist of EPF, to come in and talk more about Bank Negara's latest measure. But I think we discussed a little bit about how talking about these ideas of fair valuation, there is the speculative valuation as well as a long-term kind of fundamental valuation, and whether a country should be subject to these waves of speculative attacks on the currency that's very destabilizing. I think Malaysia is not a country that is quite there yet. So the news is coming up, and we will be bringing you updates from Bursa Malaysia after that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.